Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a familiar name, familiar voice for Western New Yorkers. He was served as the Bills general manager for several years in the Super Bowl run, a Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee a couple of years ago. Now ESPN NFL analyst, front office insider for ESPN. Happy to have our friend Bill Polian on the Subway Fresh Take line. Bill, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure, guys. Nice to be with you.
Did you enjoy yourself at the Kelly Golf Tournament last week? As usual, it was a little rainy and a little cold, but I think you're used to that for that event, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. It seems that that's always the case with the weather, but I had a great time. It's great to see everyone. Got a chance to spend some time with Marv on Sunday night at the gala. And then had a great day on the golf course with the great group of people that I played with. So it was a terrific weekend, really enjoyable.
Bill, if you guys are getting rained on every year, have you ever tried to talk to Jim about moving it back in June?
Well, it's been that traditional date, you know, and what's amazing about it is that, 31 years after its inception, it's still going strong. Jim's long since retired from active play, so I think that's a weekend that everybody kind of puts on their calendar, and we do it rain or shine, and it's more often rain, but so what? It's a great time.
You know, one thing about that weekend, Bill, and it's been said before, that is the unofficial, almost official now, reunion of your Super Bowl-era team, which, you know, in many respects, I know that teams get bonded, teams have a special bond. This has gone above and beyond what most teams do in terms of staying together. 31 years, it's the same core group typically of players who come back for this. It's a pretty special weekend and a pretty special bond that team shares now, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it really is. And I don't know what started it, but it just – well, first of all, it was an era when there was no free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these players came in right out of college or right out of the USFL and spent their entire years with the Buffalo, or, you know, vast majority of their careers with the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, got married, raised their children there. Many stayed, Steve Tasker being and Mark Kelso being prime examples. But, you know, everybody stayed in touch. We had such great success that, you know, to this day, as the saying goes, you know, you can't buy a drink. People are very kind and remember us. But it was such a special time for all of us that I think that bond just grew and grew. And we went through a lot of hard times. The losses, of course, were real tough. But we stayed together, and as Marv said, you know, expect adversity, expect more to conquer it. We did, and then we've remained close through the years, through thick and thin. You know, the tragedy of Ken Holt's passing, and Jim's illness, and so on. So, you know, for whatever reason, I think the tournament is a big part of it because we all come together. It is our annual reunion. And everybody catches up with everybody. Time is an amazing thing. You know, I remember the kids of the players coming in on Saturday. You probably do too, John, and playing touch football on the field when they were just little guys, you know, little tykes. And now Jim Richard introduced me to his grandson at the tournament. And it surely made me feel old, but very proud, too.
Yeah.
And another thing that I think was striking, I'll never forget this, when Ken Holt passed, there were numerous wives at that service in Mississippi and spending a weekend with Kay Hull and her family. It's as though it was still, you know, 1990 again. And they've never lost that feeling for one another, through thick and thin.
Hey, Bill, in today's football with the free agency and how much guys move around, John and I always talk about this and we go back and forth on it. Do you feel like teams today have that same bond?
It's hard. It's hard because teams don't stay together. We just had the 10th reunion of our Super Bowl winner in Indianapolis, and it was great to see everybody, and there were a great number of players who came back. But that's a special team because you've been to the big game, as we were four times, with this group in Buffalo, and that probably adds to it, and it adds to the stability of the team. Guys stay longer, but it's absolutely true that in today's day and age, there isn't the kind of bonding that goes on or that went on then when you stayed with a team for a long time, sometimes even your whole career. So that's rare in today's game.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Polian, and talking about a variety of topics. And Bill, you were part of the series of interviews our group did for the Top 10 Moments in Bill's History, a series that just began on MSG Network on Monday night. And you had a lot to say about, you were around many of those great moments. The one thing that struck me was the day after Super Bowl 25, the Niagara Square reception in front of City Hall, on the steps of City Hall. I always think that was maybe not just one of the top 10 moments in Bill's history, but to me, one of the great moments in Buffalo history, to have that sort of reception for a team that just came off a bitter loss. It was an unbelievable moment, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and it speaks volumes, maybe says it all, about what kind of city in Buffalo is and what kind of area Western New York is. Because in a courageous and heartbreaking defeat, thousands and thousands of people came out just to say, you know, we're proud of you, thank you. It was a marvelous, marvelous time, and one that I'll never forget. You know, of all of the memories, all of them great, that I have of our time together in Buffalo, that may be the most remarkable of all.
Bill, what was your mindset when, you know, they informed you guys that you were going down there, and then when you pulled around the corner and you just saw everybody out there cheering for you, what was your mindset when you first saw that?
Well, we knew we were going. There was going to be an event, and we didn't really get a chance to see the crowd until we came out on the platform overlooking or attached to City Hall, until we came through the doors leading out to the platform. And it was just absolutely breathtaking. I remember everybody turning around saying, holy cow, look at this. This is amazing. And one thing that always sticks in my mind, as your listeners and viewers know, to the right, as you look out from City Hall onto the square, the federal courthouse is to your right, across the street. There were justices out there with their robes on, standing there and being part of the ceremony. And then I later heard that one federal judge, I think it was a federal judge, decreed that on Friday before the Super Bowl, everyone had to come to court wearing something Bills, and he threw a lawyer out because the lawyer didn't have any Bills gear on. And that tells you where the Bills are in the pecking order of life in Western New York.
The wheels of justice ground to a halt that day to celebrate the Bills. Hey, one other, and the other moment, and it was on the show last Monday, but I know you were a big part of this too. It was only a week and a half before that day we were just talking about, 51-3 AFC Championship game over the Raiders. We were talking about that the other day, and the nature of that game, because of the lopsided nature of that game, Bill, that game, that day in the stadium, became like a celebration. It, you know, the game, you know, was out of reach for the Raiders, and so the Bills, probably to their credit, the players and the fans could all celebrate for essentially the entire second half. It was kind of a wild scene that day.
It was. I remember just being shocked at how swiftly we dispatched the Raiders. They weren't ready for the no huddle offense. Everybody knows the story, but it's true. I was walking down the tunnel maybe 2 hours or so before the game, and there was a paid telephone at the end of the tunnel just before you got to the field, and there were several Raiders on it or waiting to get on it, making reservations to Tampa for the Super Bowl. They thought it was a lock, and once the ball was snapped, man, oh, man, they just were unprepared defensively. And they had lost Bo Jackson the previous week in a playoff game. So offensively, they were at a disadvantage. But defensively, they didn't have an idea of what we were like or how we were going to play. And they didn't know how to handle Andre in the slot. And the tempo just ruined them. But that's not – that's not unique. When I was with Carolina a few years later, I tried to tell our players about what the tempo was like and our coaches, and they said, yeah, we'll be ready. And the score, I think, was 7-6 at the half. Maybe we were ahead or 7-3. And the Bills stepped on the gas in the second half, and it was over in about 12 minutes.
Bill Polian on the line with us, plays a prominent role in our series, the top 10 moments in Buffalo Bills history and the Bills top 10. It airs on MSG Network. There's another airing coming up next Monday night with the top 10 offensive performers in Bills history, and it's Monday nights throughout the middle of July, the Buffalo Bills top 10 series on MSG. Bill joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Bill, I want to turn your attention to a couple of current issues in the NFL, including the way the New York Jets have approached this offseason and what lies ahead. You were asked the other day, I believe, on a radio show about whether the Jets were positioning themselves to essentially tank the season. Is that possible in the NFL to tank?
Well, I think it's close to possible. It seems clear to me that that's what Cleveland did last year. The Jets are a different story, and I made that clear. I believe it was on the Mike and Mike show that you're to which you're referring. I can't argue from a football standpoint that any of the veteran players that the Jets released were playing anywhere near to the level that they were being compensated. Mm-hmm. These were all guys who had not had either were injured or whose careers had taken a pretty precipitous downturn, and many of whom were long in the tooth as football players go. So you can't argue with the fact that Mike Maccagnan and his staff are trying to get the salaries in line with production. Now, what we'll see going forward is what they do at the cut to 53, what they do to try and improve the team, maybe via trades. My belief right now is that they're just doing the right thing for their organization, and that's especially there's a special consideration that exists now that didn't prior to this last collective bargaining agreement, because you can carry cap room forward now. So if they're judicious with their cap room and they draft well, they can carry that forward and have the opportunity to sign some players down the line that opportunity didn't exist in the past. So, we'll see how they approach it. My guess is that they'll be pretty active trying to improve the team. Cleveland did not. As you recall, they lost their kicker, I think, to injury on the eve of the season, even the season opener. And Robbie Gould was out there, Robbie Gould later signed with the New York Giants and had quite a nice year. They passed him over and brought in an unknown kicker who I think missed two or three field goals the following week. It was clear that they weren't going to spend any money to try and improve the team. And to me, that's what worries me. When we start getting into a situation such as you saw in basketball with the Philadelphia 76ers, where they say, there is no effort to win this year, I think we then put our fans in a situation where they begin to question, what the integrity of the organization is.
Hey, Bill, do you think we'll get a good understanding of what they're doing? Or even will your mindset change if McCown is the quarterback versus Hackenberg or vice versa?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, they're doing the right thing there. They put a second-round draft choice into Hackenberg. They're going to let McCown hopefully win the job, earn the job, and then let Hackenberg play at some point during the season. If McCown doesn't play well, or God forbid if he's hurt and he's got obviously a history of some injury, then Hackenberg or Petty, whoever wins that job in camp, will step in. That's perfectly okay. I mean, they're trying to find out if they have a quarterback, and no one can argue with that. The question is, what do they do with the cut to 53? They're very light in the receiver department. But that said, this was mentioned yesterday on our show on ESPN, NFL Live. They have a lot of young players that they probably like that they've drafted who haven't gotten on the field yet. And So we'll have to see how those guys who are now going to get on the field get to play. The example is Ben Ajulano, a young man that I drafted in Indianapolis who's now gotten a starting job at tackle. He's gone through his apprenticeship. He played at Villanova, so it was a big jump into the National Football League. We'll see how he does now. So they're going through that process, and to me, that is more of a building project. Clearly, looks like more of a building process than anything other than that. But when you don't try and do everything you can to win, or put the best team you can on the field, then you know people justifiably complain, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
On the line with Bill Polian, former Bills GM, ESPN NFL front office insider. Last time we had you on the show, Bill, at the Combine in Indy 4 months ago now, you got everybody's attention when you compared Sean McDermott to Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame coach. Anything you've seen or heard since then that makes you want to amplify that statement or that comparison at all?
Well, I think I said Marv-like.
Marv-like, yes.
I don't think I L-I-K-E. I don't think I compared them, you know, in any other way, but I still feel that way. And I feel that, you know, that more than ever now, seeing how he's conducted himself throughout the off season and how he's structured the roster and structuring the organization. And, you know, he's got a blueprint, and I firmly believe it's the right one, and he's following it and doing what he needs to do. And, look, there's a break-in period for everybody. There's a learning curve for everybody. There'll be that for Sean, for the coaching staff, for the players. But I think that this team and this organization is absolutely on the right track, without question.
And the last thing, Bill, then, is minicamp wraps up tomorrow for the Bills, and then, you know, we waited 5 weeks or so until training camp. And you get the league-wide view in your role as ESPN's front office insider. To you, what is the biggest question mark surrounding the 2017 Buffalo Bills as they get set to go to camp in about a month or so?
Well, I think, you know, who's going to emerge at receiver? That's one thing. Who's going to back up Shady? The loss of Gillis Lee, you know, left a void there that has to be filled. I don't have any question that the defense will come together. It's going to take a little while, but and I hate to put pressure on guys, but I think it'll come more sooner than later because it's so similar to what Schwartzy did when he was there. So the guys who played there when Schwartzy was there will have some recall, and I think you'll see them get cohesive relatively soon. And then, to me, I want to see how the offensive line performs. That's an area that I think there's some question marks as to how well it can perform. And let's see. That those, to me, would be the areas of consideration. Everybody's going to focus on a secondary because of the loss of the free agent to New England. But Sean will get that straightened out. There won't be any. I think in time that group will play well, you know, the offensive line performance and protecting the passer is to me the issue, and how they adapt to the new system, which, by the way, is, I think I've told you, Murph, I think is perfectly suited to Tyrod's talents, and we'll get Charles Clay, I think, more involved than he has been in the past, and it's suited well to his talents as well. But you got to be able to block it, and so that, to me, is the key.
Music to our ears here. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing this. Have a great summer. We hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.